good morning. Take a deep breath and don't do a thing. That's what financial analysts are saying about the drop in the market yesterday. By midday on Monday, the Dow dropped 1,100 points. As the day wore on, stocks regained ground but still finished with a loss. It was the eighth worst single-day point decline and the second straight fall of more than 500 points. The slump was blamed on a slowdown in China that brought Tim Cook, Apple's CEO, to counter that belief. He emailed Jim Cramer, host of CNBC's Mad Money. He said, "I get updates on our performance in China every day, including this morning, and I can tell you that we have continued to experience strong growth for our business in China through July and August." This seemed to have soothed some worries by investors. Analysts say this contributed to stocks rebounding. Meanwhile, folks who have been saving for retirement or for a down payment on a home are concerned. Moving now to Ferguson, Missouri, a municipal judge who was appointed in June by the city council there announced sweeping changes to the city's court system yesterday. They include an order to withdraw all arrest warrants issued in that city before December 31, 2014. Municipal Court Judge Donald McCullen also changed the conditions for pretrial release. All defendants will be given new court dates with alternative penalties like payment plans or community service. He said the changes should continue the process of restoring confidence in the court. This comes on the heels of a report by the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division in March. It was based on an investigation of the Ferguson Police Department. It found that the law enforcement practices there are shaped by the city's focus on revenue rather than by public safety needs. It said the emphasis on revenue has contributed to a pattern of unconstitutional policing, but it's also shaped the municipal court, leading to procedures that raise due process concerns and inflict unnecessary harm on members of the Ferguson community. Ferguson became the focal point of a national debate about race and policing in August 2014 after then-city police officer Darren Wilson, who is white, shot and killed teenager Mike Brown, who is black. A grand jury declined to charge Wilson in that case, yet protests surrounding it also revealed other issues involving Ferguson police and the municipal court system. He would have been 35 years old this week, Nicholas Hayward Jr., 35 years old, if he were still alive. Nicholas Hayward Jr. was shot in the stomach by Officer Brian George on September 27, 1994, on the 14th floor of 423 Baltic Street in the Gowanus Houses. He'd been playing cops and robbers with six friends. The kids said Nicholas Hayward Jr. dropped the toy gun when he saw the officer and said, "We're only playing. We're only playing." Officer George still fired and killed Nicholas Hayward Jr. He was just 13 years old.
On the justice side of all of this, having the officer who shot and killed my son to be held accountable, there has actually been no movement.
Nicholas Hayward Sr. has been trying to get justice for his son for the last 21 years.
Though I have reached out to Ken Thompson, hoping that he would really take a look into my son's case, because it was basically covered up by Charles Hines. And Ken Thompson, back in 2013, had told me that should he get in office, he would relook into this case.
Hayward Sr. says the case was completely covered up by Charles Hines, the then Brooklyn DA, who decided not to indict the officer. He said Hines disregarded what the kids said, and he disregarded the officer's own deposition about the shooting, changing the facts. These are some of the reasons that Hayward Sr. has been trying to get the case reopened. He says the officer should have been indicted. Yesterday, he spoke with Ken Thompson's office, who said they would set up a meeting with the head of the DA's civil rights unit, and on Monday afternoon, Oren Yaniv with the district attorney's office confirmed that Civil Rights Bureau Chief Mark Fleidner will reach out to Mr. Hayward to arrange a meeting. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. The first ever UN Security Council meeting, which threw a spotlight on violence and discrimination against lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender people, was held yesterday. It was organized by the U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power said it's about time, 70 years after the creation of the UN, that the fate of LGBT persons who fear for their lives around the world is taking center stage. Diplomats said two of the 15 council members, Chad and Angola, did not attend the informal closed meeting. Jessica Stern, the executive director of the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, told the council courts established by the Islamic State group in Iraq and Syria claim to have punished sodomy with stoning, firing squads, and beheadings, and by pushing men from tall buildings. Stern said fear of the extremist group, which controls about a third of Syria and Iraq, has fueled violence by others against LGBT people.
I think those critics don't know what they're talking about.
New York City's mayor is defending his jail's commissioner after a tabloid editorial called for his ouster following a record-breaking month of inmate violence at city lockups.
Commissioner Pont is a reformer.
The Daily News reported in a front-page story Sunday that there were 22 stabbings and slashings in city jails in July, the most in any single month in 15 years. An accompanying editorial said Pont and corrections officials can't control jailhouse gangs. De Blasio said on Monday that Pont's the right person to bring culture change to the violent-plagued Rikers Island complex. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.